Sissy, the bucket still raised between her hands, blinked at him in astonishment. Nobody should be in the yard, not at this time of night. And anyway, she didn't know this fella, did she? Hard to tell, seeing as how the water had hit him in the upper chest and splashed right into his face and hair. He sputtered and did a little dance before reaching for his gun belt. He wore a gun. No, two of them, one on either hip. Sissy still hadn't got used to that. People in Chicago owned guns, sure. And unsavory elements there went about performing even more unsavory deeds with the help of those firearms. But they didn't strut around with pistols strapped to their sides the way men, and some women, did in Wilder, Wyoming. This man wore his weapons low, like some sort of gunslinger, and looked more than prepared to use them. Or maybe he just sought to shield them from the deluge of water. Apart from that, he wasn't one of Mrs. Culpepper's roomers, all of whom Sissy recognized. He looked about 30, a tall man and lean with it. Those hips were certainly lean, with a well-sculpted face now expressing extreme shock. He wore black trousers with a black shirt and leather vest. His hair was also black, longish in the back and at the moment sodden. For an instant frozen in time, Sissy stared at him and he stared back at her as if nothing, no one else existed. Behind Sissy, Mrs. Culpepper howled.
Stupid girl, what have you done?
She seized Sissy by the arm and hauled her backward into the kitchen.
What's he doing there?
Sissy lowered the now empty bucket to her side. Mrs. Culpepper spoke in a rush.
Mister, I'm sorry. The girl's a nuisance and a caution. You can see what I put up with dealing with the help. If I might ask, though, what are you doing out in my yard?
He sputtered. A trickle of dirty water ran from his lips. I'm looking for a room. Mr. Mountroy over at the bank sent me. I knocked at the front, but nobody answered, and since I heard voices back here. What he meant was he'd heard shouting, the sound of Mrs. Culpepper scolding Sissy. Sissy set down the bucket and scowled, even as Mrs. Culpepper barked at her.
Get a cloth. Help Mr. Saunders. Help Mr. Saunders dry off.
Mr. Saunders stepped into the kitchen and shut the door behind him. Little trickles of brown water dripped from his clothing onto Sissy's nice, clean floor. Damn it all. Yes, she knew she shouldn't swear, even in her head. But dang. She snatched up the cloth she'd used to dry the vegetables for supper and handed it to him. He swabbed his face, swiped at his chest, and carefully took the pistols from their holsters and laid them on the kitchen table. Are you Mrs. Culpepper?
I am Eulalia Culpepper, yes.
Do you have a room? Mr. Mountroy's hired me for security at the bank. I don't have a place to stay. The other boarding house farther down the street is full, so I'm hoping you have space. Security, eh? That probably explained the pistols. He was a guard. Shouldn't he be guarding the bank at night?
Mr. Mountroy's a fine man and a personal friend of mine. Unfortunately, the only room I have available right now is here, off the kitchen, alongside the help.
Mrs. Culpepper made a disdainful gesture toward Sissy. Mr. Saunders eyed Sissy slowly from her shoes upward. His gaze, every bit as black as his hair and clothing, lingered on the front of her skirt, all damp from crawling around on the floor, and again on her hair, half escaped from its formerly neat coronet. Aunt Amelia always decried her hair. The hair of a harridan, she called it. Though Sissy certainly couldn't help the color, could she? Toe-headed, they called it. She and Andy both had hair so blonde it looked white. No expression showed in Mr. Saunders' dark eyes, but when he finished his inspection, he raised a brow and looked at Mrs. Culpepper. I won't have to share a room with her, will I?